Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Rosalind Carter, the wife of President Jimmy Carter, once said, "There are only four kinds of people in the world. Those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need a caregiver." Our guest today, Eva Piper, will share her experience and insights as a caregiver. We paused at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It's to lead you to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Him. No matter what you are going through, He died on the cross for your sins, for mine, for Suzanne's, for Eva's, for all of us. He shed His blood on the cross. He was buried, but He rose on the third day. And today He is calling you to His side. Will you listen? Will you heed the call? Eva Piper is a teacher, a speaker, an author with a unique insight into the trials of heartache and the triumphs of overcoming. She is a cum laude graduate of Louisiana State University, a teacher in the public school system for 34 years. She continued her teaching career as an elementary coordinator in Texas. Eva and her husband, Don Piper, are the proud parents of three adult children and five grandchildren. Eva, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. What an honor to be here there with you. I wish I was in Hawaii, but I'm sitting
so
here
I.
in Texas. But my heart is there in Hawaii.
You and your husband have been here, and you have blessed our islands many times. We're so thankful for the ministry that you have and for your sharing of your testimony, truly saving and changing lives. Thank you so much for coming out. We look forward to seeing you again when you come out, I'm sure soon.
I hope so. We love the islands. We love the people. And we have been so blessed. We hear, "Oh, you've blessed us," but trust me, we have been blessed four times in return.
That's awesome. Eva, where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Houston, Texas, but it was because my dad was stationed at Ellington Air Force Base. Mm. So basically, I have lived all over the world. I grew up in a military family. For the last 20 years, we have lived here outside of Houston, and I like to call myself, I'm a true-born Texan, mm-hmm. and I got back here as soon as I could.
That's awesome. And who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, there is no doubt. It was my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad was a remarkable person. He is now sitting at the feet of Jesus. But he pointed me to my Heavenly Father in the way that he acted, in the way that he treated me. It was always with respect and love. And the fact that, yes, there were boundaries, there were things I could and could not do, but they were always explained to me. And he just had a way about him of pointing people to Christ. When he passed away, the church was packed. From high school mm-hmm. students to mm-hmm. people from the church to the sheriff's department that he worked with at the end of his life. He was a man who I am honored to call my daddy.
Wow. And, you know, this seems like a simple question, but what difference has Jesus Christ made in your life?
Oh, my. I don't understand how people go through difficult times without him. Mm. The truth of the matter is we're going to have trouble in life. The Bible tells us that. Christ never promised us that things were going to be easy, but what he did promise is that when we're going through those tough times, when we're going through those storms, when we're going through those dark times, he's right there with us to pull us along, to drag us through sometimes, till we get back into the light. I have spent time in the darkness when things just seem to be crashing all around me, and yet there was a pinpoint of light always there, and it was Christ that pulled me through.
You know, you talk about those dark times, and many of us on in our audience are familiar with Don Piper and his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and his experience. But tell us about your husband's experience from your perspective. It's one that I don't think many of us have ever heard.
That's probably true. I did not know about the heavenly experience until about 2 years after the accident. Mm. I was at school when I was a teacher, as you stated. I was teaching in first grade when I was called to the office and was just told Don was in a serious car accident. Was not aware at that time of how serious that accident was and that he'd actually been killed. So we went through that day. I got to the hospital and... You know, he was in bad shape. They didn't know if he would make it through the night. Mm. I had been, we'd been married for 15 years at that time. And during those 15 years, he had handled everything as far as bills, as far as deciding what insurance and those type of things. Because I felt I had my hands full, you know, raising three children, teaching school, and I was a pastor's wife. Mm. So I let him do all that, and suddenly I was thrust into a position where I'm having to make very critical decisions. I'm having to fill out all of these forms, and I felt like I was drowning. Thankfully, there were a lot of friends there who supported me and helped me, but if it had not been for my relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know how I would have made it. I don't know if I could have made it. Yeah. I remember the first time they took me back in to see Don, and I was there by myself for the first time, and I remember just putting my head down on the gurney and just praying, God, what's happening here? Yeah. He was a pastor. He's coming back from a conference to serve you, to build a new church. What's going on? How are we going to make it through? And the verse that came to me was from Jeremiah, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, mm-hmm. the one from Jeremiah 11, which says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future." And I have to admit, at that point, I was like, "Really, God? this is what you send me?" Because I mean, I'd memorized verses my whole life, because I couldn't see any hope, I couldn't see any future, and so many times we stop there. Those are the verses that we stop at. And I remember when we were in Hawaii at one time, Suzanne and I went to have breakfast at a little place, and she wanted me to look on the wall. Suzanne, do you remember us doing this?
Oh, absolutely. It's Moana in Hawaii.
She looked on
Hawaii,
the wall, because I told her about this verse. I want to follow that up, because there is some action that we have to take in order for God to bring us that hope in the future. And it says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Mm-hmm. See, in order
Eva, thank you so much for that, because that's so important.
It is.
To have that verse 13. Thank you.
Yes, because if we don't put some action into our prayer life, into our seeking God's will in our life, he can't give us the hope in the future that he wants us to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Eva, I'm going to back up a little bit, because I think, you know, it's so important for us not to skip through the moments of the tragedy, you know, that first phone call. And there are many in our audience who get that wake-up call, that phone call that they dread, you know, about their child, their husband, their friend. What is the response? What is the response at that moment?
It can be varied. For me, you know, with Don, of course, we didn't realize how serious it was. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I got a call from my daughter early on in the morning, because she's a teacher, and she said, "Mom, I really need to go to the ER. I don't feel well." She's 41 years old at that point, and I said, "Okay, well, let me come and get you," so that Scott, her husband, could get their two children up and dressed and going to school. And she was having some abdominal pain, and, you know, we really thought it was a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. And so I took her to the ER, they also thought that one of those little like neighborhood, you know, urgent care clinics is where we. And the doctor came in. He goes, you know, I want to do a CT scan because if it's a stone in a place that's blocking the kidney, we will have to do something because we don't want any type of infection to set in. And so we're sitting there, and they took her out and then wheeled her back in. I remember the doctor coming in, and there was just a look on his face. And he pulled out his iPad, and he showed us a massive tumor on her right kidney.
Wow.
And she was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer. She's had that right kidney removed and several lymph nodes. What was my reaction at that time? Utter fear.
Mm.
I think sometimes people think that as Christians, we're just supposed to be strong the whole time.
Yeah.
And there are times where fear sets in. And I remember 2 weeks later, she was scheduled to have that kidney removed, and I couldn't sleep. I was up and up. And I remember starting to pray, God, remove this cloak of fear and give me a mantle of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because a mantle is bestowed upon you. And from that moment on, it was just like everything seemed to smooth out. Now, she's had some rough times. We're going on 3.5 years now. We've had ups and downs, but I think as Christians, we have to realize that we are human. Fear is going to come in. Anxiety is going to come in. But if you constantly go back to those verses in Jeremiah where you call out to God and you cry out to him, mm-hmm. I cried. Oh, and God and I have had many late night conversations where I'm saying, okay, God, what about this? Yeah. And he mm-hmm. wants to hear those things. We don't have to protect God.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to hear all of our emotions. He wants us to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he has never, ever left me without an answer of some sort, or at least a feeling, hey, I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
And what better peace mm-hmm. to know that God is in control.
Yeah.
I don't have to be in control because he's got this in control.
So good, so good. Your words of, you know, we don't have to protect God. That's
right.
Powerful. You know, I think we do mm-hmm. sometimes approach it as if, what if God can't handle this? Or, you know, I can't talk to him about this because that's not godly to talk to him about this. We can talk to God about anything, and we have to, because he is our Father first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And our Father mm-hmm. is the one that we're supposed to be most transparent with and able to share anything with. Even, I don't like you today. We can say that to our Father.
Oh, yes.
I'm not agreeing with you today. You know, like
right.
we need to have that freedom, because he's such a gentleman and he's a gentle Father.
Amen.
And we're going to take a quick break. I want to come back to this because you have so much wisdom in the things that you've walked through. We're going to talk a little bit more about caregiving and just really some of the lessons you've learned. That could be packed into several shows, but we'll try to cover as much as we can today. Stick with us. We're with Eva Piper, the wife of Don Piper. And the topic today is caregiving. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a'a in studio here for Danny Yamashiro. I'm here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. We're here today with Eva Piper. Before we start again on our conversation, I do want to remind you in our audience that if you'd like to hear this from front to back, you can always go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to this and download it. And especially if you'd like to share it with somebody that God places on your heart today. There are many of us in our community that are caregivers. And this is a powerful message about how to be a caregiver and how to take care of the caregiver. Eva Piper has inspired audiences with her testimony of walking her hurting loved ones through a very dark night and surviving to see a sunrise, not just bright, but much more beautiful because of the journey. The wife of best-selling author Don Piper, Eva was the glue that held her broken husband and her family together. We've talked a little in the last segment about that initial experience when your husband got into the accident and returning home and the chaos that you felt and just the isolation, really. But your husband now calls you the real hero of this experience. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I really don't know. I don't feel very heroic. I just feel like I did what needed to be done. And I will say that as a caregiver, there is no magic bullet. There is no template. There is no how-to book. It is an on-the-job training exercise. What you have to do, I had to learn a lot of things as I went along, is you can't do it by yourself. You have to let other people help you. If you don't, you will burn out. And you can't take care of your loved one when you're so worn out that you can't make the critical decisions that you're going to have to make. Mm-hmm. You need to take time for yourself. If it's just, you know, being able to go for a walk or go to the grocery store, let other people come in and help you do those things to relieve you. For one thing, when you don't let people help you, you're taking a blessing away from them. Because mm-hmm. they want to minister. Mm-hmm. And so you're stealing their opportunity to minister when you, it sounds strange, but you're being selfish when you try to do it all by yourself. I know for me, I thought I was being, I was handling it all. I was being responsible. I didn't want to impose on anyone. And it took a good friend to tell me that you need to let other people help you. You have to take, you know, Jesus took time away. I mean, he took time mm-hmm. away to pray. He took time away to recharge. And he is our example. And if he's showing his example of doing that, that's what we need to do, too, as caregivers. Mm-hmm. We have to learn that it is okay at times to be frustrated with the situation. I've had, when I've spoken, I've had ladies come to me and say sometimes they get so frustrated with the patient, with their loved one, because things don't seem to be going well. Don was a difficult patient. He is my husband. We have been married for 47 years, but he was a difficult patient because he was so depressed. I did not understand that because I didn't understand at the beginning of this that he had been to heaven and had it taken away from him, in his words. Well, of course, you would be depressed, but I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. In my mind, it was like, hey, you were dead. They brought you back to life. Why aren't you excited to be back with me and with our three children? We're going to have a wonderful life together. Mm-hmm. And so there were many times where I left that hospital room so frustrated because he wouldn't speak to me. He wouldn't talk to me. It was like he had closed himself totally off. And I remember one night I was getting ready to leave, and I was actually going to leave a little earlier than I usually did. And I grabbed my things, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go home early and actually get a nice warm shower, and maybe instead of sleeping on the couch tonight, I will actually get in the bed and sleep. And I went to the door, and I looked back at him. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go home. I'll see you tomorrow. Not a sound. No response. Mm. And something in me just snapped. Mm. And I dropped my bag of all my schoolwork, and I stomped over to the bed, and I said, what is the matter with you? Why aren't you happy to be back? I mean, I unloaded on him. Mm. And at that, you know, and I turned around on my heel and, you know, very dramatic exit is what I'm going to do. And I look over at the mirror that's beside his bed, and he has tears just running down his face.
Mm. Wow.
And I went
Eva,
back. Yes.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I went back and I put my arms around him as best I could. He had a lot of metal all in. And I said, it's going to be okay.
Mm.
And at that moment, God said, you need to see him through my eyes. Because
Eva,
you hurt me
Eva,
a lot.
What I want you to do, if I may say, is explain in more detail about your not knowing about this for almost 2 years. Because I think a lot of people don't know about that and don't know about his best friend that challenged him.
Right. Well, after that, I mean, after that incident where I learned that I have to kind of look at Don through God's eyes. I tried to do that because, let's face it, we hurt God constantly by some of the choices that we made. And so I was able to push that aside, not knowing that Don had been to heaven. And I guess a lot of people thought that I knew that originally. I didn't. It was almost 2 years later.
Wow.
Don did not tell anybody because he felt it was a sacred secret. Heaven was so beautiful and such a miraculous place. He didn't feel he had the words to explain it.
Mm.
And so it was almost like something so precious to him, he wanted to hold it.
Yeah.
And he was speaking to his very dear friend, David Gentiles, one day, and he and David were in the front room. I was back in the kitchen. And as they're talking, I heard him tell David about the heaven experience. It just kind of slipped out. And so I waited until David left, and I went back and kind of stood at the doorway, and I said, so you went to heaven? he said, yeah, I did. And I've had people say, well, aren't you angry he didn't tell you first?
Mm.
No. It came out at the right time, and it came out at the right way. And what that did for me is it lifted such a burden from my heart because I finally understood why he had been in such a deep depression and why he had kind of pushed things aside and why he did not seem to be excited to be back with our family and back among the living.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we have to realize that there are things that people, especially people who are going through difficult times, they're dealing with things that we don't know.
Yeah.
And so we have to love them anyway. We have to know that God has the right timing. If things are supposed to come out, God will have those come out at the right time and at the right place.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God of detail.
Yeah.
He always is.
Yeah.
And so those things will come out. But in the meantime, we have to do our best through the power of prayer and through the power of God's mercy and grace to love those people who are having those difficult times and try to just show them how much God loves them, how much we can love them and minister to them. We have to be the hands and feet of Jesus,
yeah,
and do the things that are needed to help people get through those difficult, yeah, hard times.
You know, you talk a lot about that caregiving experience, and having gone through it a few times myself as a support system for a caregiver, one of the things that I think really wreaks havoc on a caregiver is guilt.
Yes.
It's the guilt of, if I leave for a second and something happens, you know, what will I do? I can't risk that. How do you negotiate? How do you grapple with that?
It's not easy. In fact, there at the hospital, I had been just 24 hours a day at the hospital with Dawn for about 2.5 weeks until some people from the church literally came and kidnapped me out of the hospital, just to get me out of there. And they brought, but what they did, this is where you have to think. They brought, it was two couples and another lady. And because my excuse, I always came up with excuses as to why I go. And before I could get those out, they said, Miss Peggy is going to sit with Dawn. If there's any change whatsoever, she will call us.
Mm-hmm.
So as a caregiver, I learned at that point how important it was to get out. But as someone who is supporting a caregiver, you've got to think out of the box. You've got to think of, what are some things I can do to help this person, to give them a chance to kind of breathe and think through things. That guilt is going to come in because, you know, oh my goodness, what if I felt if I left the building, if I left that hospital, something was going to happen.
Yes.
To it didn't make any sense. I mean, what was I going to do? But in my mind, that's how things were working. And it took some other people to step in and pull me away so that I could then go, oh, all right, there are people to take care of him. There are people that love him. And most importantly, I need to trust him. I need to trust God to take care of him. I need to.
And Eva, at that time, weren't your children with your parents?
The boys were, yes. We have twin boys. At that time, they were in second grade.
Oh.
And my mom and dad did come down from North Louisiana and took them back. Our daughter, Nicole, who was 12 at that time, went to live with some friends of ours there in Alvin, Texas, which is where we were living at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was basically on my own. I would go home to an empty house each day when I did go home finally.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that time, they found me another room in the hospital to stay while Don was in ICU, and I stayed in there, and then I stayed in a hotel just down the street from the hospital. I mean, I was there every single minute that I could be there because I had to, in my mind, protect him.
And at some point he finally was released. It was several days. Was it 100 days or?
Well, he went in on the middle of January. He was able to come home the first time the end of March. I brought him home via ambulance. Well, that's another thing. I had to find a new house while he was in the hospital, because the house we were living in, we couldn't get him in the front door the way the house was configured. So on my own, here I am again, never having made big decisions in my life, and I'm out hunting for a new house.
Wow.
But I was able to find it. Our pastor's wife was a realtor, and she helped me find a house. So we brought him home. He was home for 3 days, I believe. And then we had to take him by ambulance back. He got an infection in one of the pinholes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in and out of the hospital. Probably the end of May, he finally got to come home and stay for a period of time.
I want to talk about that. We're gonna take a quick break. Yeah. But I think that transition to coming home for a caregiver is such a critical, scary. Let's put it that way. It's scary. All of a sudden, you don't have the support of the medical staff. It's you. And what do you do in that moment? You're not equipped. You're not ready for it. But you have to be. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eva Piper about that transition, being full-time caregiver for her husband when he came home from such a tragic accident. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a in studio here for Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer. We're here today with Eva Piper, and she is the wife of the best-selling author Don Piper. He wrote the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, and many of us know the story that Don has told, but today we're getting a glimpse of Eva's side of the story and the things that a wife faces when there's a tragedy as the caregiver, as the mother who's still taking care of children. And all the other worries, but then realizing, gosh, there's a lot of things that I'm not ready to take care of. The finances, buying a new home, changing because of economics, when I am really solely responsible now for this family. And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about bringing Don home and being that full-time caregiver out of the hospital. What was that experience like for you, Eva?
I wasn't there full-time, I have to tell you, because I was still teaching school.
Wow.
I had to teach school in order to keep our insurance, and wow. So our health insurance. Mm-hmm. So our church got together. In fact, this is our pastor's wife, Jenny Foster, and she organized something called the Dawn Patrol. And what would happen is...
I love it.
That's great.
Different people, some men, women, you know, different ages, would arrive shortly after I left for school so that they would be there just to get Don something, because he was totally immobile. He couldn't get up with the devices that he had on his leg and on his arm at that time. And so they were there to provide him with anything he needed as far as lunch, nourishment, answered the door, answered the phone, and then they would leave just shortly before I got home from school, so that I didn't feel like I had to sit there and visit with someone.
Mm.
And so that was such a wonderful idea. I did have to, they had to teach me how to clean. Don had 34 holes drilled through his leg, through the bone and out the other side to pull the bone and pull the two pieces of bone back together to fill in the gap where the bone was just,
ejected, shattered,
shattered from the car accident. So I had to learn how to clean those pinholes. I had to learn how to turn the screws on the device to pull those bone pieces back together. I had to learn how to, cajole him to get, he didn't want to eat. He didn't want to do anything. So it was, as I was a first grade teacher. And so at that point, come on, honey, come on, eat this. keep your sense of humor. You do have to let other people help you. This was before the time where I could look things up on YouTube, so I did a lot of reading. And again, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and ask questions. I had a friend who was an RN that I knew I could get on the phone with her, and she would be over in a heartbeat to help me. Find those people who are experts in an area, and let them service you. Let them minister to you through their expertise. Yeah. I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And again, continue to take that time, you know, just little blocks of time where you take some time for yourself.
Yeah.
To recharge, to pray, to just sit quietly and let God's peace just cover you.
Yeah. You know, I listen and I think to myself, you know, I know people have been through tragedies and challenges, medical especially, and there's such a spirit of independence that, you know, I don't need help. I don't need anybody else. But what you're saying is absolutely we were made for interdependence. To say that we are less than if we ask for help, but that is actually how God created us, to be interdependent with each other. And that's such a great lesson, I think, that we've gotten in this world. And what we've been taught is that the goal is success and independence. And this really brings that interdependence right front and center. And I think sometimes, and I don't mean to be stereotypical, but as I've watched some of the men come home with their ailing wives, even, you know, wives who have just had a baby, they're, you know, they don't want any help. I can do this all by myself. And I don't know that that's, you know, that's the best thing for the patient, certainly for the family.
No.
Yeah.
And I think, and it is because, you know, for me, it was, I don't want to impose on anyone. I don't want to cause, you know, anybody else to have to go out of their way to help me. And also, the truth of the matter is, a lot of times people will say this to you when they know you're in a situation. They'll go, you know what, if there's anything you need, just let me know. You know what? I didn't know what I needed. Nicole will tell you the same thing, as she is still battling cancer. You know, people, and, you know, we appreciate the prayers and we appreciate all the things they do. But the people who show up and do things, a good friend of theirs just showed up and started mowing their yard.
Wow.
Because she said, you don't have to worry about that anymore. People have set up a thing called a meal train that you can set up online where folks can sign up for meals, because you know what happens, they all come at the beginning,
right,
have the refrigerator full, and then suddenly, you know, you can't eat all the food, it goes to waste. Well, this meal train is a wonderful idea. You sign up for different dates and you bring the different meals in, you just drop them off. These are the kind of things that help people. I had a friend whose husband had a heart attack, and a lot of their family was going to come in. Another friend showed up at her door with a bucket, brushes, things. She goes, I'm here to clean your bathroom. Because she knew all this company was coming in.
Oh, so good.
You know, it's those things like that. We have to think out of the box to help each other, because someone who's going through a crisis, someone who is in that middle of the caregiving, they're focused on getting their loved one well. Yeah. They don't know what they need. Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. We have to think of those things.
Oh, and you just remind me, you know, as we sit in prayer for our friends and family who are in need, one thing we can ask the Lord is, Lord, what can I do for them today? What is a need that I can meet that they don't even know they need? You know, speak to me in that space. And, you know, maybe somebody out there in our audience is in that place right now. They have a friend, a sister, a brother who is facing it, and they have no idea, you know, I'm praying for you, but I feel like I want to do more. Lord, speak to them and give them, oh, maybe I can mow their lawn. Maybe I can clean their toilet. Yeah, that's something that I can do. So that's so
beautiful.
Inspirational. Yeah.
And if there are children in the family, don't forget those kids. We had the teachers from my school put together a box of just little trinket things, so that every morning at breakfast, while they were still home, before my parents took them home, they could put a little gift on their breakfast plate so they weren't forgotten.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Wow. That is good.
And then we've had this while Nicole has her daughter just turned 13, son just turned 9. So they've gone through this now almost 4 years. And people who have come and say, hey, let me take you to Chick-fil-A. Let me take you. Let's do this. To get them out of the house, but also to let them know they're not forgotten.
Yeah. So good. You know, you wrote a book, and I'm so glad you did. What prompted you? The name for our audience, the name of the book is A Walk Through the Dark, How My Husband's 90 Minutes in Heaven Strengthened My Faith for a Lifetime. What prompted you to write that?
It took a while. I would travel with Don when I could, especially if he was coming to Hawaii. I made sure I took off.
Thank you.
Going to Hawaii. But people would ask me, because I would work at the book table, how did you get through it? What did you do? And after, you know, Don would say, you really need to write this down. You need to talk. You need to put this on paper. And so I finally decided I would, and worked with the co-writer that Don has worked with, Steve Murphy. And I have to admit, it was something I was very terrified about doing. But as I did it, it was very cathartic for me, because it helped me work through things I had not worked through at that point. The original title was A Walk in the Dark. And as the book was coming to publication, they wanted to change it. They wanted to kind of, you know, how publications does, that they wanted to tie into the 90 Minutes in Heaven, because this is a best-selling book. Right. So they wanted, the one title they came up with was 90 Minutes on Earth, which I thought maybe feel like an alien, so I didn't go with that. But I was talking to my dad one night, and I told you how wise my dad was. And he said, well, daughter, you didn't stay in the dark, you got through it. And so I called the publisher. I said, my daddy says the title needs to be A Walk Through the Dark, and that's what's going to happen.
You know, I love it.
I just read a little bit about the book, but you really do share some very key points, very important things that I think all of us can benefit from. And one of those is really, what are the challenges that a caregiver faces? How do we face life as a caregiver? How do we get through the dark?
You realize that nothing is permanent. It is going to change. And I think that was a big thing, realization for me, that it's not always going to be this way. You're going to move forward. To realize that you are human, that there are times where you're going to feel, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like doing this. I'm angry. I'm having to do this. And just, you don't stay there. But you acknowledge it. You say, you know, I don't feel this way. And you acknowledge it by talking to God. And like we talked about earlier, you know, so many times I hear people go, oh, I couldn't share that with God. You know, I couldn't. And I'm thinking, he's God. He already knows this. He just wants you to talk to him about it. So those are two big things. Again, like I've mentioned over and over again, take time for yourself. Make sure that you are looking out for your own health, because if something happens to you, who's going to take care of your loved one? And then, as you're working, look for ways to help others that are going to be going through the same thing. I have found, since I've gone through this with Don, we've also, you know, my brother lost his wife to cancer. And so I was able to help him there. You know, I've lost both of my parents now. Or my dad says, how can you lose someone when you know that where they are? And I know they're in heaven, so I didn't really lose them. They just moved on.
Sure.
So I think you do those things. And I found, for me, I was raised in church. I'd read my Bible my whole life. You know, I'd underlined it and you know, had all the little things on the side of where the books of the Bible were. But it helped me to start writing verses down. And I call that my flashlight verses, because they shone a light for me when I was in the darkness. And so I just got a spiral note. And as I was reading through my Bible, if something just jumped out at me, I would write it down. You know, the other day I was reading, and this sounds really strange, but I was reading in the book of Lamentations, which is not one of the most fun books in the Bible. But if you get through to the third chapter, it says this, because of God's great love, we are not consumed, mm-hmm. for his compassions mm-hmm. never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say mm-hmm. to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you know, there are certain times where just things jump off of the page at you. And those are the things, like I said, I put them in that little, spiral notebook, and on days when I would get off of the elevator and I would come around and there'd be a nurse that would meet me outside the door and say, well, we've had a little setback.
Mm-hmm.
There were never little setbacks, but there was and I could pull that, I could start reading those verses over and over to myself.
Amen.
And they were, it really was, it was like a gentle rain just washing that anxiety away, and I could take a breath.
Yeah. Eva, it's we want to come back and we're going to take a quick break, but you talk about the scriptures. The scriptures, the living word of God that meets you where you're at every single day. And there's nothing more important you could read, do for any challenge of life, but be in the word. And I loved how you called them flashlights, I think you said, lights in the dark, in those moments when you don't know where to turn. We all need those. We need those moments of light. And they come from the Word of God. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Today we have Eva Piper in studio. Again, if you'd like to get this from the beginning, you can always go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download this. You can listen to it there. And please consider sharing it with somebody, a caregiver, somebody that is in the midst of what we're talking about today. Eva Piper is a speaker and author with a unique insight into the trials of heartache and the triumph of overcoming. In her book, A Walk Through the Dark, Eva shares the challenges of being a caregiver. But, you know, as I read through some of the book, Eva, you also talk about this thought of how do we be prepared for a tragedy? Why is it important to be prepared for a tragedy?
Because it's coming. I mean, that sounds like very fatalistic, but the Bible tells us in this world you will have trouble. Mm. And so it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's a matter of when. I heard someone say once that 50% of people are coming out of a tragedy, the other 50% are going into a tragedy or a crisis of some sort. And so it's happening. I mean, look at where we are in our world right now. Mm-hmm. There are crises that are popping up all over the place. And so you have to be prepared. And you do that by, first of all, digging into God's Word, getting your foundation set so that when those do strike, and they're going to, you can hold on to Christ, because that rest of that verse says, but rejoice, for I have overcome the world. Yes, troubles are coming, but I can get you through it. Mm-hmm. And you also have to do some very practical things. You need to have a folder, a flash drive, something that has your important information on it. Because when you're thrown mm-hmm. in the middle of a crisis, the last thing you need to try to remember is the name of your husband's doctor and what the phone number is. That needs to be somewhere where everybody, every adult in the family, whether they're living in the home or they're outside, like my three adult children know where things are, that should something happen, that can be hands-on immediately, that has medications, has allergies, has passed, you know, all of those different things that when you go in, you have to fill out all those forms in a doctor's office, have that available, have that ready to go. Know what the insurance is, you know, what numbers to call. And the other thing is, everybody needs, you know, sometimes we put things in a box, like the wife does this, the husband does this, that everybody needs to know how the house is run. And that means, for me, I had to learn how to pay bills. I had to learn where the what our insurance was. I had to learn what deductibles were. It's not something that Don kept away from me. It was something I just wasn't really interested in doing until I had to do it. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to be proactive and have that conversation up. And everybody needs to know how to load a dishwasher. You know, not everybody.
So good. So good.
They need to know where the kids go to school mm-hmm. and who their teachers are and what time they have to be picked up. Yeah. All of those little details, there needs to be a conversation about that. And then another conversation you have to have is an end-of-life conversation. It's not mm-hmm. a pleasant one, but you need to have, you don't want to have to be thinking, what would they want to do?
Right.
What would they want? You need to have had that conversation ahead of time. That should that happen, that is one more thing you don't have to deal with.
Yeah. You know, that so resonates with me. I lost my mom about actually 10 years ago this month, but she was so good at communicating all of that. And she had a folder for us for when she died. And it literally had a picture of where she wanted her ashes scattered with an arrow to exactly the spot that we needed to do. I mean, we didn't have to think about a thing. The only thing that we had to think about was what color were we all going to wear to her services. And I tell you, that simple piece caused the most chaos in the planning of her celebration of life, because it was the one thing that we weren't clear on. So I can completely resonate with that. And then afterwards, I remember my father calling me because he had never done the grocery shopping. And mm-hmm. I absolutely fell apart when he called me and said, I need to go buy milk at the grocery store. Where is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was such a reality that what you're saying is so important. It's so important. How did you deal with it when you were, you know, that was put all on your lap? You know, you just have to get through it. I'm sure there was a sense of being so overwhelmed. What steps do you take when you're in that place?
My dad had a saying, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. no, yes, if you try to look at everything at once, you can't do it. It's too overwhelming. So you do. You have to take it a step at a time. You know, as a math teacher, I tell my students, break the problem down.
Mm-hmm.
Find out the information you know. Find out the information you don't know. What do you need to get that information? And then go from there to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do with life as well. When you're trying to see everything at once, you will feel like you're hit by a tidal wave. And so you have to wade in a little at a time, realizing that sometimes you're going to make a mistake, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You go with the information that you have at that time, you pray about it, you make the best decision possible, mm-hmm. and then you move forward.
Yeah.
Going back and going, oh my goodness, I wish I had done such and such, is wasted energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep moving forward and do it, you know, and realize, I'm going to mess up from time to time. I'm going to make a wrong decision. And you know what? I'm not going to beat myself up about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because because I did the best I could.
So good. Eva, we are just about out of time. I can't believe I'm saying that because there's so much more I'd like to speak about. We'll have you back on. That's what we'll have you do.
Thank you.
But in our last minute, would you pray for our audience, especially those who are in the midst of being a caregiver or supporting one? Would you pray?
Lonnie, I want to jump in real quick with one thing. Dawn has written another book, The People I Met at the Gate, and that is an important book, too.
Wow.
So, The People I Met at the Gate.
But we'll have now, to have Eva, him come talk to
pray.
Us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Oh, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to get to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we know that right now there are a lot of hurting people. There are a lot of people who are caring for loved ones, and they're just overwhelmed. They don't know what to do next. They feel trapped. They feel like they don't know what decisions to make. And, Lord, I just ask that right now you do take that fear away. You take away that anxiety, Lord, and you just rain down your peace. You rain down your comfort. Because, Lord, all we have to do is ask. That's all you say. Just ask, and I will give it. And so, Lord, if we will reach out, if we will stretch out our hands, stretch out our hearts to you, Lord, I know you've never let me down. You've never let anyone down. You've always answered it. You've promised us that you would be there for us. And so, Lord, I ask today that there are homes right now where I know there are people sitting there, and they're thinking, I don't think I can do this one more minute. Mm-hmm. Lord, please give them the strength. Give them the encouragement. Send someone to their door. Have a phone ring. Have a text come in, encouraging them, telling them that they're not alone, that you have provided your people to be the hands, the feet, the heart, right here on earth, Lord, so that people can get through these difficult times, through the dark times. Lord, you did not create us to live in darkness. You created us to live in light. And that light comes from Jesus Christ. And so for those of us who know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, we know that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will be with us to the ends of the earth. And so, Lord, I just ask right now that you shine a light in every home, on every island that is hearing this, Lord, that they would feel that light. They would feel the warmth of the light. They would see the brightness of the light, and that they would reach toward it,
mm-hmm.
because that is the only way out of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We ask these things in your most precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
That's Eva Piper. Again, her book is A Walk Through the Dark. If you've been moved, please share this message with a friend. Buy the book for your friend. Buy the book for your family. It's such an important message. Inspiring words from Eva Piper. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Him. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. There's more information there for you. To help us with your prayers, your financial support, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Partners. We'd love your support. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Eva Piper. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.